In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. The theme of this year's Parish Life Conference is a verse from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. We should all know it, right? We've talked about it enough this year. The young children did creative festival projects on it. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. That's from Mark chapter 11. And what's the context of that? How does that come up in the gospel narrative? Well, it's important we know that. Jesus has just entered into the city of Jerusalem, Palm Sunday. And one of the first things he does before he goes to his passion, so like the first thing of Holy Week, we might say, is he goes to the temple in Jerusalem and he cleans it out. It's called the cleansing of the temple. And very famously, how he does it is he overthrows the tables of the money changers. He sends the ones out who are buying and selling in the temple. And he quotes that verse to them as he's doing that. He says, "Have you never heard, my house of prayer shall be called a house, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." And then he adds, that's from Isaiah. He's quoting Isaiah. Then he adds a quote from Jeremiah that says, "But you have turned it into a den of robbers." So what's going on in the Gospel of Mark before Jesus' passion that he has to go and do that? What was going on in that first century period in Jerusalem? Well, in the temple, they had an area called the Court of the Gentiles, where people who were non-Jews could enter, and they could make an offering. They could give money, or they could buy a turtle dove or a pigeon for a temple sacrifice. And they had to stay in that area, so there was a clear separation between the Jews and the non-Jews. The Jews had this understanding of clean and unclean. They were the insiders and the Gentiles were the outsiders. So in this court of the Gentiles, if somebody came with Roman money, for example, and they wanted to spend it, they had to change the money because it's got Caesar's likeness on it. And that would profane the sacredness of the temple. So they had to change the money before they could pay to make an offering. And they could buy their pigeons and their turtle doves, but they were marked up really high, like exorbitant amounts. So the people who were doing this business in the court of the Gentiles were really stealing from the people who really wanted to be faithful and learn about God. So there really was kind of a robbery going on in the temple. This is what was happening. And Jesus comes and he drives them out in anger even. And he cleanses the temple. You think about that for just a moment. Insiders and outsiders, that kind of mentality. The Jews thought that they were the chosen people of God because God made a covenant with them. And they thought anybody else who's not a Jew is unclean and not the people of God. And they thought that that chosenness came through their heredity, through their bloodline, through their circumcision, however you want to phrase it, how you were born and what you did as a Jew. But they were mistaken. And Jesus, before he goes to his passion, before he goes to do the very thing that he came to do, to die on the cross, he says, "My house shall be a house of prayer for all nations." And that's very specific. It means non-Jews as well. Because the Jews were the Jews, the people. If you ever see the people in the Bible, it usually refers to the Jews. The nations means the Gentiles, the outsiders, the non-Jews. So Jesus is proclaiming a house of prayer for everybody. He's going to do this through his passion, his death, and his resurrection. So very important that he cleaned out the temple. You know, we have to get rid of the mentality that we have a special relationship with God because of who we are, or who our parents are, or what our heredity is. You know, it's not through blood. It's through the birth from above, as the Gospel of John says. We are born not from the will of man, not from the flesh, but from God. So this very important thing happens early in Holy Week. And you might want to think about that scenario. Maybe it's like coming into church and I experience this sometime, it feels really busy, like there's a lot of business going on. And I'm not pointing the finger at you. Think about yourself. I'm thinking of me. How is it sometimes? We come to church to pray, like the liturgy today, and we have 100 things on our mind. You know what that's like? That text message we received, the things we have to do after the liturgy, the things we had to do this morning. If there's young children involved, it gets even busier. So we know there's a lot of a clutter in our mind sometimes. We get bogged down by the busyness, and when we're in the house of God, when we're in the divine liturgy, sometimes our minds are anywhere but here. Sometimes we're not present. We're consumed with all that busyness. That's not right, is it? I don't have to tell you that. So what do we need to do about that? Be aware of it, right, first of all. We come into church, it's a holy place. You know, one of the oratorical contestants told us that the word holy is used in the Divine Liturgy 175 times. She counted them, apparently. We say holy a lot in our prayer. That means God is holy, and he is due all of our reverence and our awe and our worship and our attention. So our minds really need to be present in the liturgy, don't they? So how do we handle that? How do we get around that? A little practical advice I want to share with you, because I suffer from it too. First of all, be prayerful when you're not in church. And I mean specifically, have a rule of prayer in your daily life. When you wake up in the morning, I know for me, the first thing that happens when I get out of bed is my mind starts racing. And if I engage anything, it just builds and builds and builds. And sometimes you can spend a lot of time doing nothing. So what you want to do is have a rule of prayer where the first thing we do when we raise our heads is give thanks to God. If you have a prayer corner, go into it. Go to that area, say the Our Father, do the Trisagion prayers, remember your loved ones living and departed, ask for God's blessing on your day. However short or however expanded it needs to be, have a rule of prayer and do it first thing. That'll keep us focused. That way when we come to church, we'll be present. It's good exercise. You know how you exercise to get good at a sport? You really have to exercise spiritually to get good at standing and being prayerful and attentive in the liturgy. So do it at home. It's good practice. The second thing I want to suggest is do something when you're at church. I don't mean anything that's not related to the liturgy. Do something that's related to what we're doing. So read. Be a reader. Go to the choir. Sing. If you can't do those, sing from your seat. Open up the red service book. Right? Follow the prayers along with the choir, with the people, with the priest even. The prayers that I read silently, I read them aloud, so you see them in print, you can pray along those words with me, silently, or with a little bit of volume. Because the more you're engaged in that way, in doing the work, the less distracted you are by who's coming in, who's here, who's not here, what somebody said to you this morning, what somebody might say to you after, what we're having for lunch, what's on the agenda, things you have to do and all your obligations. It's hard. But I think those two things might help, and I try to practice them myself, and I need to get better about them myself, because I need to be present and attentive at the liturgy as I stand there in the presence of God and lift up the gifts and ask for him to come down, not just upon the gifts, but upon these people. God's Holy Spirit comes upon us. See, we are the temple. Jesus went into the temple on that day to cleanse it. Think about the temple of your body. You're baptized. This is now where the Holy Spirit dwells. God dwells primarily in temples not made with hands, but in those faithful ones who believe in him. So the Holy Spirit is in you. Don't let it get cluttered. Don't let robbers and thieves in the temple. Be on guard and be faithful. All that other stuff we get consumed with is kind of like what Jesus was talking about in the gospel today. It's really immaterial. We worry about it because we lack faith. What we're going to wear, what we're going to eat, where we're going to go, what's going to be provided for us. If we worry about it, it's consuming us when we want to be prayerful. Well, we want to be in the house of prayer, offering the prayer to God. Keep the one needful thing in mind, the kingdom first. That's what we heard today in the gospel. Seek the kingdom first, and all these things will be added unto you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.